Yeah, Father, I just want to pray for Helen. I just pray that you'll just bring life to her words this morning, Lord, and the things that you put in her heart to say today, that you'll just empower them with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning. Morning. Easter morning. Is there something, I was never an Anglican, that you kind of say, he is risen?
He is risen indeed.
There you go. All these years in church haven't been wasted, obviously. I'm going to talk about who's risen. I want to talk about the resurrection. And first of all, I thought we'd just read about it. I just wanted to read from Luke 24. Now, on the very first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves. And he departed, marvelling to himself at what had happened. 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen.'" The image of Jesus and the cross wasn't actually an image that they used much in the early church. The first time we find it in a Christian context, as far as we know, is on the door of a church in Rome and is dated about 430 AD. They used the fish sign, you know, that little... I think there's a special name for it, but I can't remember at the moment. And they used pictures of miracles and healings. And, of course, Jesus' crucifixion was important, but a lot of people were crucified in those days. What they really talked about was the resurrection. What they preached was the resurrection. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, "If Christ is not risen, our preaching is empty and your faith is empty. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile." The cross is a symbol of a reality that means so much to us. But as we read in Acts about the early days of the church, the resurrection is the thing. When the disciples chose another to replace Judas, Peter said that they must choose one of those that was a witness with us of the resurrection. When Peter and John were preaching in Acts 4, the Sadducees were disturbed because they were proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And then it says, "With great power the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was on them all." In Acts 17, Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. That's the point, the resurrection is good news. Jesus didn't just die for us, he was raised for us. Romans 6:4 says, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." That's what today's all about. It's about new life. I want to read you some scriptures about this new life. Jesus said in John 10:10, "The thief does not come except to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." In Colossians 2:12 it says, "You were buried with him in baptism, and you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead, And you, he has made alive with Jesus, having forgiven you all sin. In Ephesians 1, Paul prays that we will understand the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, that's us, the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power in Christ, when he raised him from the dead. Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So the power that God the Father used to raise Jesus from the dead, he has used that same power to give new life to us, that abundant eternal life that Jesus promised. And in this new life, we are forgiven. We have a calling that brings us hope. That's to do with the dreams that Al was talking about. We've got dreams that give us hope. We are individually and corporately part of the glory of Christ's inheritance. We have been given immortality, and the Holy Spirit dwells in us. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. New things have become. All things have become new. Now, this is all good stuff. But sometimes we don't actually believe it. We kind of believe it in here, but we don't actually believe it in our hearts. Excuse me. Sometimes we have problems believing it. Let's talk about our hearts for a moment. There's a verse often quoted from Jeremiah 17. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Sounds bad, doesn't it? But the very next verse, which is not quoted as often, says, it answers that really. It says, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind. And then in Romans 10:9 it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes. So when we believe that Jesus is Lord, something happens in our hearts. Something real. And God can see that change. Our hearts are transformed. Our hearts have always been important to God. He has always intended to bring us new life and new hearts. In Ezekiel, way back in the Old Testament, it says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. We often feel, like Jeremiah 17, that our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. But if we have believed in our hearts that Jesus was raised from the dead, then our heart has been transformed and renewed, and the Holy Spirit dwells in our heart. That's the Holy Spirit. He can't dwell where there's desperate wickedness. He's holy. Our old life is dead. We have a new life in Christ and a new heart. And the Father has searched and judged our heart and has found it suitable for the Holy Spirit to live there. This isn't to do with our previous behaviour or our behaviour at all. This is to do with us discovering the power of the resurrection and its reality actually in our lives. The truth is, our hearts are good. That's a life-changing thought. Another of Paul's prayers in the letter to the Ephesians, that Christ will dwell in your hearts by faith. Something has changed in our hearts. It's not our mind where we assimilate facts. It's not even our emotions. It's the deepest part of us, the part that can be broken, the part that can find peace that the world can't understand. Something has changed, so our hearts become a suitable place for the Holy Spirit to dwell. Our hearts are good. You have a good heart. Say that to your neighbour. Go on. You have a good heart. You have a good heart. Yeah. But can you look in the mirror and say it to yourself? We have an enemy who does all he can to stop us believing this good news, because if we believed it, if we really lived there, it would transform us. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We are in the process of being unveiled. We were created in God's image. Remember, Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, let them have dominion." The devil hates that image and does all he can to destroy it. The last thing he wants is for the church to be glorious. And that's why it tells us in Proverbs 4:23, to keep or guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. When I kind of first heard that, I don't know, I kind of took the verse to mean, well, watch out, because your heart is evil, so you've got to keep an eye on it, you've got to guard it. But that's not what it means at all. It means that your heart is a treasure. And Jesus said the thief will come and steal and destroy if he can, and it's your heart he's after. He's after that treasure. He's the abundant life Jesus died and raised to give you depends on keeping your heart safe. Irenaeus was a second century bishop, and he said, "The glory of God is man fully alive." Wow. The glory of God is man fully alive. It sounds a bit strange, but if you think of the opposite, that man half dead and depressed doesn't bring any glory to God, doesn't reflect God's image. God wants us to be alive. He wants us to be fulfilling everything that he created us for. He wants us to be living abundantly. So we need to guard our hearts. We need to walk wisely, as Paul tells the Ephesians, because the days are evil. But it's the days, it's the times we live in that can steal our glory. We don't need to be ashamed thinking that we are inherently evil. We just need to walk in the truth of the resurrection. Jesus has dealt with it. Then we will reflect God's glory and bring some of his light into the world. Another old church father, Philo of Alexandria, said, "Be kind, for everyone you know is facing a great battle." I love that. Be kind, for everyone you know is facing a great battle. Yeah. We need to be kind to each other, but we need to be kind to ourselves as well. The battle for our hearts is going on all the time. We need to take time to refresh our hearts, whatever that takes. Music, stillness, partying, solitude, nature, whatever. Just make sure the rhythm of your life includes times of refreshing your heart. Guard it, keep it. It's precious. It has been renewed. The resurrection of Jesus has brought new life to us all. I'll let Peter have the last word. That's the Apostle Peter, although it's the same verse that Pete read out at the beginning, actually. by one of those coincidences, but he read it out from the Message, but I'm going to read it from, I think it's the New King James. 1 Peter 1:3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Amen. Amen. If you're not sure whether you've been born again to a living hope, whether or not you have a new heart, do come and let somebody pray for you.